Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
First down, Philip Lindsay back in. Lindsay waits, great patience. Lindsay cutting to the outside. He's got blazing speed, and he's gone. Touchdown, Broncos. Tasmanian Devil running free for 41. So that's 11 straight games with at least two touchdowns. Intercepted, picked up by Von Miller. Miller trying to stay upright, and he's brought down from behind by Travis Benjamin. Miller will show up in Rivers' nightmares once it's Lindsay. Direct snap. Lindsay cuts and slices in for the touchdown. The Broncos have come all the way back. They take the lead in Carson. Keenum on second and five. He's got his man, Emmanuel Sanders, into Chargers territory. Huge play for Denver. Keenum deep drop. Keenum throws. It's caught. Cortland Sutton. And he's down, but the clock is rolling. 10 seconds left.
They have plenty of time to spike it.
We're down to 6 seconds, and Keenum will clock it with 3 seconds. Denver will have a chance to win it. McManus, the kick. He's got it. That's a winner for Denver. The Broncos rally on the road to knock off the Chargers.
Keenan Allen said the Broncos suck. Wow.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Well, if the Broncos suck, Keenan, what does it make you guys, I guess?
We just didn't play them early enough in the year to get our win.
So, San Diego. I'm going to call you San Diego. Philip Rivers always finds a way to lose.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never give it up. And every time I step up in the field, everybody's hands go up. Victory!
Back in, Nathan McKinnon. If anyone can do it, he can. Holds in the far side. Time winding down. McKinnon up top. One timer. Score! Nico Rantanen! 1.3 seconds left in OT. The big slapper beats Miller.
I just thought I'd throw that in, too. The Avs won in overtime.
How we doing?
In Anaheim, right down the street from where the Broncos beat the Chargers in Carson. So Southern California had their fill of Colorado. Alfred, what'd you think, pal? Broncos definitely win and deserve all the credit. But my goodness, how much of a choke job was that by the Chargers? Oh, my Lord.
You know,
well,
what?
We'll take it.
They called the timeout to find the perfect play to give their...
No, it wasn't timeout. It was a two-minute warning.
A two-minute warning. Play called, and they dialed up a screen. The only problem was that Von Miller intercepted Philip Rivers, and... Philip Rivers didn't use all the muscles along his cranial, and he just threw it into the ground rather than just take a sack.
Well, I asked BJ about it. I don't know if we have that too. We have all the replay stuff.
The play was dead, but he should have took a sack.
I asked him what did he think when Rivers threw the ball into the ground.
Rivers threw the ball into the ground.
What I think? I was happy. I was really happy and excited. You know, we gave him that look before, and he kept checking to quick screens. You know, so we bluffed the look and gave him a pressure look and bailed out and played some zone. And he spiked the ball. So it was a good call by Joe, and the players executed it, and it worked out for us. But I was excited to see him spike the ball.
Gold star. You anticipated what they would go to. You showed one thing. You went into another. That's the chess match right there, Al. For all the grief that we've given the coaches, I think it's only fair when we give them credit for when things go well. And that was a great coaching moment. You panicked a future Hall of Fame quarterback into doing something so incredibly stupid. I mean, common sense should have told Philip Rivers, if this happens, just lay down. I mean, literally just lay down, self-sack, manning it up. And 40 seconds would have gone off the clock, Al. They could have even taken the penalty. They wouldn't even have to burn a timeout if they didn't want to. And then they would punt the ball. By the way, interesting, VJ and the Broncos trust River Craycraft more than Adam Jones in a situation where they just want him to field the punt. How about that one? That's kind of interesting.
Maybe Adam Jones playing too much defense and
That's not what they said. I asked that. That's not what they said. They said they trusted River.
That's okay.
That's all right. They got their reasons. Just curious to see. The Chargers only had two punts. Chargers had the ball for 37 minutes. Chargers, on every level, should have won that game. But Philip Rivers, that dude just doesn't have the clutch gene. He's a great quarterback, but he doesn't have the clutch gene, Al. He just doesn't have it for whatever reason. Cannot explain
it. He doesn't have it, or his kickers don't have it?
He doesn't have it.
So if you get your kickers in position to win and they don't win, is that on the quarterback?
It's probably you haven't built a big enough of a lead and you've put your kickers in that situation.
Right.
For example, you are about to go up 3 scores. You have converted 8 for 8 on third down. And on a screenplay, Vaughn, go back and watch this play. The tackle doesn't even touch Vaughn. I mean, the tackle might as well have just looked at Vaughn and said, hey, here comes a screenplay. I mean, no acting, no nothing. Just goes immediately to the second level.
It's called a slip screen.
Vaughn knows. He doesn't look at me? Nothing? Well, obviously, I'm not going to run up the field. I mean, good smart football by Vaughn. And that comes with experience, right? Like, you just know. Rivers just throws it right in Vaughn's chest. But, you know, Vaughn wasn't supposed to be there, Al. You know, there's supposed to be a little deception. Vaughn wasn't fooled at all. Hit him right in the chest. And Rivers just, I don't know how to explain it. The dude played great. That third down pass to Antonio Gates, which should have ended the game more or less. Unbelievable throw.
Corner route, just put a little air underneath it.
Great throw. That's it. Now the Broncos. And then they give up, Broncos give up a 6-yard rushing play, call their timeout with 2:29. That's it. It's 2nd and 4. All Philip Rivers has to do is line up under center and just, I don't know, fall forward twice. You're going to hit the 2-minute warning, and then you're going to get the clock down to 1:20, and there's just no way that you're going to be able to drive the field under that circumstance.
For a field goal?
Mm-hmm.
1:20?
Shouldn't be able to.
Oh, we've seen Tom Brady do that time and time again.
Well, this is Case Keenum, Tom Brady.
He was yesterday.
Somewhere Tim Tebow was smiling, Al, because nothing personifies Tim Tebow like playing like garbage for an entire game except when it matters most. And Case Keenum on that last drive, my hat is off to him.
I thought it was just a great game plan. A lot of short passes. The ball was not held in the quarterback's hand for no period of time to speak of.
Should have been sacked at least 3 times, and he got rid of it all those 3 times.
Right, right. Just a heady game from Case Keenum.
Yep.
And a good game plan. It was a really good game plan considering that we had 3 new guys playing. Well, the first time this offensive line has played together, and they didn't find out about this until, what was it, Wednesday night? After practice, good game plan.
Wednesday night? Jeez, I Max Garcia went out on Thursday.
Thursday night.
Boy, they're coming to work Friday morning, and it's like, okay, Max is out for the year. Because don't forget, Max repped
every... Was that Wednesday or Thursday?
No, Thursday. He repped every rep Thursday.
Mm.
He said, "Mom, my knee's kind of bothering me." They go in for an MRI, and they find out it's got a torn ACL.
Good job, man. Yeah, that's a great job of coaching now. That offensive line played as well as we've seen them play. Even though, like you said, they gave up a couple pressures, Case Keenum did what good quarterbacks do. Don't take the sack. Good job. Four tackles and one guard, and Connor McGovern is a man playing the center position. He moves people. He is powerful. That may be his natural position, D-Mac.
He's played a lot of it, you know, and he's definitely his natural position.
I mean, he is moving folks.
Well, don't forget, like, J.D. Walton played, like, every snap for a couple years, maybe 3 years, right? And then he got hurt, and then he was more or less done. And I am not hoping that for Matt Paradis. I'm just citing that it's happened before in Broncos history, that's all. We'll see how Matt Paradis comes back from that injury, but it's good to see Connor McGovern did such a great job.
Strong move. Strong.
Elijah Wilkinson, fantastic.
Solid.
Billy Turner, nice job.
Very good.
Garrett Bowles.
Gave up one edge. Gave up an edge that could have been called a holding.
Best game he's had all year, though.
Yeah.
No holding calls. No sacks.
No penalties.
No penalties. No jumping. No jumping, nothing. I'm solid. Valdir, solid. I mean, it wasn't exactly a spectacular offense, that's for sure.
Ball came out quick.
But they did not turn it over, even though Case Keenum threw a punt. But they got the call, went their way. The Chargers were, and the officiating was another, like, just, you got to be kidding me thing. Chris Harris interference, really? Tim Patrick offensive interference?
He did hold now, but he did get pushed in the face, too. Chris Harris was holding, and he did get pushed in the face.
NFL referees have to just figure out when to let things go and not be over-officious. It just seems they're just so eager to just call something at every single moment.
It was the first time the Broncos won a road game in San Diego /LA against the Chargers with Pete Morelli as part of the officiating crew.
Not the NFL's best and brightest right there. But that's the kind of game it was. I got a ton of clarification on the two-point conversion and asked VJ quite a bit about it today. What'd you think, before we get into the weeds on it, what'd you think of the two-point conversion and the not throwing the challenge flag?
I thought the flag should have been thrown. I thought the challenge flag should have been thrown. From where I was sitting, just hanging out watching the game at home, it looked like it was a two-point conversion that was good. And was it close? Yes, but it should have been good. And what's crazy is that, you know, we were watching the game, and the official who was actually on the call, I can't remember if it was Dean Blandino, I think it was, said that the play should have been reviewed because it's a scoring play. Then here we go, an official who is paid by the television network goes and says, goes to commercial break, comes back and says, "Oh, sorry about that. That's not what the way it's supposed to go."
Right.
That because it's a scoring play and it's, for whatever reason, the coach still has a challenge, kind of took me by surprise. I'm like, I thought all scoring plays were reviewable.
But it has to. I know what the rule is now. I was surprised too, but I know what the rule is now. You know what? Why don't I go through the stuff with VJ here? Because we kind of get through all of that in this process. I think, let me just play it.
A two-point conversion, whether to ask for a review or not, who exactly are you talking to upstairs that lets you know whether to throw the red flag? And what replay are they looking at? Because just sitting home on TV, it seems so obvious.
Well, I'm talking to our staff in the press box. You know, obviously I can't see the replays. But, you know, I mean, those guys give me the evidence to challenge. You know, so if it's not clear, they tell me, "Coach, it's not clear, we can't tell." So obviously the rules are, if it's a scoring play, right, it goes to the league if it's a positive play. So, you know, I would prefer if the officials are not sure if it's a positive or negative play, just call on the positive side, because it's a built-in fix for him. Okay, so once he calls it a score, it's reviewed. Okay, it's reviewed. So if it's not a score, okay, I have to obviously challenge it. So if my views are not clear enough to challenge it, I can't, because it's 12 minutes in that game. If I lose that challenge, it costs me something, you know. So in my opinion, you know, it was more important to keep our time out there without having clear evidence. Now, if it was clear, absolutely we challenged that, but it wasn't clear to our guys.
Yeah, upstairs. We've got a little bit of fly in the ointment, and we'll dig into this a little deeper. But first, Adam Schefter joins us, brought to you by ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Adam joins us on the Condoleezza Rice Hotline. Adam, good afternoon. How are you?
Alfred and D-Mac, what's going on?
Can you take us through the Condoleezza Rice tweet, Adam? And I'm sure you've had a lot of interesting feedback on that over the past 24 hours.
Well, you know, it's a story that I wrote on air. Basically, the story was, and I stand behind it 100%, that the Browns were interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice as a head coach again. I didn't say that they were hiring her. I didn't say she was a favorite.
Right.
I didn't say she was on the short list. I said they were interested in interviewing her for the head coaching job, which they were. And basically, I think it's a situation here where there are teams that interview a lot of different people all the time to gain a variety of perspectives. And I think somehow along the way, this turned into something that it wasn't in the internet world, that the Browns are hiring Condoleezza. I didn't say they were hiring her. They were interested in talking to her, which they were and perhaps still are. Now, I know that they came out and denied it. All I would say to you is that teams deny things often, and teams do what they have to do to make sure that they get a lid on things. And I am 100% confident in what I reported, and I would report it again tomorrow.
Well, I loved it, and a lot of people were freaking out about it. I wasn't one of them. I think you get a lot of different opinions, and why not? I just wonder why you have to interview her under the guise of a head coach, and you can't just meet with her and talk about it.
And she probably should just be the commissioner of the NFL, to be quite honest with you.
But Alfred, she's talked about that before, and I don't disagree with that. But again, I think here's what happened. Last week, the Browns themselves came out and said that we will leave no stone unturned, and we will interview anybody and everybody we have to, including women. Okay? Including women. So I asked around about what women are on their list.
Okay.
There we go.
I think that's great reporting. And I think it probably blew up a little different than they expected it to once you found out.
I think that's very accurate, D-Mac.
Yeah. And all of a sudden,
I think it's very accurate.
Yeah, it sort of became, and it must bug you when you report something one way and people just want to hear it their own way, I guess, and completely misrepresent exactly what was being reported.
Well, again, it's not up for me to do that. It's up for, you know, everybody. That's what I said. In the game of telephone, sometimes things get turned around, and my job is to present the facts. And I presented that the Browns were interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice for their head coaching job, which would make her the first woman to ever interview for an NFL head coaching job. That's basically the story. How it became these other things, you know, I don't know. But, you know, again, that's not my job. I put out what I knew to be true. Browns can say whatever they want. I'm just telling you what I put out. Do you think I make this stuff up?
No, of course not.
Now you too, Adam. Like, now you're part of the fake news organizations out there. Yeah, I'm just kidding, buddy. I know how you work, and I know that you check and second guess. Second check your sources.
You know, at Northwestern, when I went to graduate school there, they taught us on the very first day of graduate school. They said, if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And all these years later, I've not been able to confirm that my mother loves me. But the Browns definitely wanted to talk to Condoleezza Rice.
Adam, yesterday we saw maybe the most dominant performance over a former Super Bowl champion that we've ever seen. 48 yeah. points against the Philadelphia Eagles was not yeah. needed. The last fourth quarter touchdown was not needed. Was that just to tell the Philadelphia Eagles if that miracle play in Minnesota didn't happen, we were about to give you the business? What was that all about?
Well, I watched it. I mean, they were down on the inside the red zone and everything. So I don't know what you expect them to do there, Alpha. Like, I mean, they could have tried a field goal, but why are you trying field goals when you're up 30, 45? I think that's more insulting than going for it. So if you're going for it, you know what? The Eagles should be able to stop them, and they just never did, and they never could. So to me, I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't notice anything about that at all. I mean, did you think that they were trying to rub it in? I didn't see that. I didn't take that. Don't you think it would have been more insulting if they had tried field goals?
You know, just turn around and hand the ball off, I guess. I mean, a field goal. At some point, the game is done, and you're just pouring salt into the wound, Adam. And I think that's what happened yesterday. I think it was Sean Payton's best moment as a coach outside of winning a Super Bowl. I mean, that was just – it was clear, and there is no other doubt that that's the most dominant team in all of the NFL, and nobody, I repeat, wants to see the Saints right now.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I know, look, ESPN has done, you know, a lot of discussing and analyzing tonight's game between the Rams and the Chiefs. And it's going to be a great, great matchup. Mm-hmm. With a lot of offensive fireworks. But the fact of the matter is the single best team in football right now is the New Orleans Saints. And somebody said tonight that this may be a potential Super Bowl preview. And it might be. But I would imagine New Orleans Saints are going to have something to say about that.
Adam, 2-point conversion reviews. Okay, we learn something new every week in the NFL. A lot of us didn't realize that you've got to score. It's got to be signaled a conversion in order for it to be automatically reviewed. I think rightfully so. A lot of us just thought, oh, it's a scoring play, so it'll get reviewed. Who knew it was the same as, like, a touchdown? Now, how that makes any logic is beyond me, because the play is either a score or it's not a score, right? Whereas a touchdown could be the result of a lot of different things. And then we find out, here's what I find out.
Yeah.
The coaches for the Broncos don't have independent control of review mechanics, meaning they have to sit there and look at the TV broadcast. And if the TV producer for CBS or ESPN or whoever wants to replay it, fine. But they can't literally sit there and control the technology themselves. They're dependent on the TV broadcast and the replay on the Jumbotron.
Right, that's correct.
This is the most insane thing in the NFL, Adam, I've ever heard of with all the technology. And here's what else I found out. There's not independent cameras, so if it's a big game like tonight, there's a million cameras. But if it's a low-level game at a crappy stadium,
that's also true.
Like the Broncos playing, you don't have the same cameras, you don't have the same angles, you don't have the same technology. Adam, you've got to be kidding me on this.
You just realized, do you know that Trump won the election a couple years ago?
Come on, Adam. Adam, I guess to ask a question is, how in the world does the NFL not have a standardized way of coaches being able to look at things, an independent review? How in the world is it dependent upon the TV broadcast and only the TV broadcast?
It's a very righteous cause, D-Mac, that you're undertaking here, and it's one that you're exactly right on. But that is how it works, and that's why if you're a road team and you're the Broncos and you're in that stadium, you might not get a lot of help from the Chargers officials. I don't even know if there's a Jumbotron to stub on.
Well, here's what I found out. There actually is, and it's an NFL rule that they have to at least once show replay on anything that's interesting of the game. However, they could show it once, they could show it from an overhead shot, they could show it whatever, and apparently there's a couple teams, Seahawks, that are a little sneaky about replaying it all. I'm amazed. Adam, I guess I'm just amazed. I guess maybe it's not really a question, but do you see something like this changing at some point?
I would think that it would, but, I mean, like, it's only a matter of time, right? Like, who would have thought that coaches would be able to do all the stuff digitally and
right.
on these monitors and have sideline tablets. And so, yes, it's going to change. And, yes, it is surprising that it's not up to date and with current times. But that's just sort of how it is today. I'm not Bill Gates. I don't know when that's going to change. But you would think that it's only a matter of time before it does.
And one quick question before I let you get out of here. How's Alex Smith?
Yes. Bad. I mean, he had surgery last night.
Last night he had surgery, right after the injury.
Last night he had surgery. And, and I'll talk about this tonight on Monday Night Countdown. But, yeah, I mean, trauma surgeons, Alfred. I mean, bad deal. And, it's a compound fracture and really not good at all. Now, I think that I expect that he's going to be able to resume his career. But the fact that that's even a question tells you how serious it is, too. He's a 34-year-old quarterback. But I do think that they think he'll be able to come back. But obviously he's finished for the season. And they signed Mark Sanchez today. And Colt McCoy will be the guy. And Mark Sanchez will be his backup. And we'll see how they get through all that.
I do have another really, really quick one.
Yeah.
Are John Harbaugh and Gary Kubiak a package deal?
Well, I have a question for you. Who says Gary Kubiak wants to coach again in any capacity?
Apparently Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
But that was the rumor out there this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. I like to kind of lease the rest rumor a little bit better.
Wow. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you later. There you go. That is Schefter dropping a bomb on Ian Rappaport right there, huh? Did everybody hear that?
He said, I'd like my Condoleezza Rice report better.
Take that, Ian Rappaport. All right. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. The Big Three's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
All right, story number one. Troy Rank nailed the story a while ago. It took a lot of heat for it, but turned out to be true. Now, perhaps the firing of Mike McIntyre would have lasted until the end of the season, if not for a poor showing against Utah. Who knows? But it happened. Terrible loss. CU abysmal over kind of one of the more weird years you'll ever find. And the CU is willing to pay McIntyre out $10.3 million to not coach their team. Al, what's your reaction?
My reaction was I thought Rick George and the University of Colorado handled this situation as classy as they could. One of the reasons maybe that they did not fire him before the last game of the year is because his son is a senior on that football team. And, of course, Saturday was senior day, D-Mac. So it made sense for them to wait until the results of the game and then make the determination. And I think they did a solid job. Mike McIntyre would be paid. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and cry for him.
Oh, he's gonna get paid $10.3 million.
Yeah, he's gonna be paid over $10 million not to coach.
All right, crazy.
So I'm not gonna sit here and say that it's terrible what they did, because he still has his guarantees in his pocket. So it just didn't work, man. Great guy. His son is a baller, and it just didn't work with the University of Colorado, man. I wish him the best of luck, but the program deserves better than 5-7 consistently.
Bongos.
Three!
After the Broncos win yesterday, how did you feel about the coaching staff and the possibilities of this thing continuing forward as the growth continues?
Well, there were a couple of moments specifically that you got to tip your hat to them. I love going for it on 4th-and-1 early in the game, winning the game. I like that. I like that sort of attitude, and so I didn't have a problem with that. they shouldn't have, Broncos should not have won that game, but they took advantage of the times that the Chargers decided to screw up. And the play that was really an unbelievable play was Phillip Rivers throwing it into the ground. That was completely a coaching call. We're going to show one thing, drop into something else, and you panic Phillip Rivers. That is 100% coaching and execution. And really amazingly stupidity by Phillip Rivers. So I give the coaching staff, I give them an A for what happened yesterday. And they beat a better team on the road. Under some really quirky circumstances. So
best win of Vance Joseph's.
It's a signature win.
Young career as a head coach.
Needed it bad, Bongo.
Three.
Alfred, the NFL will return to Mexico City. Do you think that is warranted?
Is it warranted? I would say that if the NFL wants to expand, then Mexico should be the first place we should expand to. Because we all understand that that Mexico has great sports fans.
So you're fine with it?
Oh, I am more than fine with it.
Just
man.
Do a
I
better am, job with the field, right?
Of course. Maybe not have a concert and then, you know, four games in, you know, in
right.
succession
right.
before you have an NFL game.
Bongos.
Three.
Tonight's a big matchup between the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. What would surprise you tonight in that game?
If it was low scoring. To me, if it's not around 30 points for both teams, I would be surprised. You?
I would say that the only surprise would be if Patrick Mahomes has a 4 or 5 touchdown game against that defense with the interior pass rushers.
Oh, so you don't think it'll be a high scoring game?
I think the Rams will score a lot.
Okay,
but I think that the
Mahomes is putting up 28 no matter what.
Well, see, that would be a surprise to me. Because
right.
of the pressure inside between those two defensive tackles, man, Aaron Donald has 12 and a half sacks, dude.
Yeah, but you're not going to catch Mahomes. It'll be a fun game no matter
it's
what.
Gonna great. It's
going
to
be great.
Really quick one. Do you like Ron Rivera's decision to go for two? To try to win the game?
No, I do not. I don't like it because it goes against everything that we've learned in our football strategy. Because you tie the game, take it to overtime, and you get a chance. You know, if you get the ball and you go down and score, you win. It could have been a tie. I mean, the worst thing in the world to do is not give your team a chance. But I guess they're saying that we're giving our quarterback maybe the best red zone player in the history of the NFL a chance to win the game and walk off. You know, with this win, with a successful conversion, except I don't like it. It felt like it was, you know, like, hey, we shouldn't have been in the game anyway. But now, since we're in the game, let's just go ahead and win it. And I don't like it.
I hate it because it was on a hunch. And Rivera was asked about it multiple times, and he could not put a voice to why specifically he did it, other than the fact you go for two when you're on the road. I'm like, what are the numbers to back up that decision? We can get to it a little bit later, but I just hate that, Al, when Mike McCarthy didn't go for it on fourth down because he had a hunch. And Peter King wrote a great article on NBC Sports detailing why the numbers say you should have gone for it, Mike McCarthy. And this whole, like, having a hunch sort of way to attack a football game, to me, makes no sense.
Three!
But when we come back, Alfred, let's dip in to see you a little bit. Who's it going to be? And then after 4 o'clock, the craziness that is a 2-point conversion in review. It's probably one of the more controversial things you knew nothing about. Details coming up.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Shit. Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in the sky. Spinning this awesome plumber. Make them piece the M-O-N-E-Y. I love my beaches. South beaches. Surfboard and high tide. I can just roll up because I'm roll up. So that birthday cake get the cobra.
Troy nailed it in terms of the report. But what's next there at CU?
I know. And once again, I feel bad for my man Troy because apparently he was stuck in an elevator with some guys who didn't like the report. that were young men that were part of the team. And they just didn't get that he's not making things up. He was just reporting what the news was, and it was good news in the form of truth. The firing of Coach McIntyre for me was it was difficult but necessary, because the program deserves to have a winning conference record consistently. If not playing for a national championship, which was the last thing that I did while I was at the University of Colorado, at least compete for the conference championship. And we haven't been able to do that, DMAC, except for one time. And in that game, it didn't go so well for us. And then we got embarrassed in the bowl game. So it just showed you that we're just not moving the entire university's football program in the right direction. So I understood it. You know, I like Mike McIntyre. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I didn't like him. I think that he is a class man, and he represents everything that's good in college football. But at some point, the rubber meets the road, and this is a win business. This is not just about graduation. This is not about just moving guys into their professional careers at the right pace, or moving guys primarily into our communities as great husbands and leaders and people who are going to benefit the great city of Boulder and Denver and the whole metro region. This is about winning, and this is what this is about. And I think that if you just simply look at it as about winning, then you know it's time for a change. 6 years is more than enough time to try to move things around, and that's my take on it.
Who's next?
You're not going to like this. I think you know.
I won't care, I promise you.
Really?
I promise you.
Really?
Unless you say Dino Faber's of Syracuse.
Dino?
Dude, what are you doing?
Dino Barber.
Who's Dino Barber?
Dino Barber is the head football coach.
Dino Faber's.
What?
Barber.
Dino Barber's.
Oh, my God. Am I getting it wrong?
Dino Barber's.
That's embarrassing if I'm getting it wrong.
At Syracuse.
His name's Barber? I thought it was Faber.
No, Barber's.
Okay. Yeah, you can have him.
No problem.
Are we calling him Babers?
Babers. We were both wrong.
Babers?
Not Barbers, Babers.
Babers.
I said Fabers.
Dino Babers.
May I have the language of fortune, please?
Thank you.
We're both a little shaky on Dino.
Dino Babers, Syracuse.
Why is CU better than Syracuse?
Oh, my goodness. Because we have actually won a national championship.
So is Syracuse.
In football.
They have two. It's a long time ago.
When was theirs?
Back in like the 50s or 60s or something.
You mean when Jim Brown was playing there?
We both have one national championship, friend.
Okay.
What can I tell you? Yours is a little bit more recent.
I think the
climate, that can't be the reason. What are the real reasons?
Really, I mean, if you really want to look at it and you say, give me a reason to pick the University of Colorado over Syracuse University, I would just tell you, on a day like today, the campus at the University of Colorado is stunning. It is unbelievable.
That's not enough.
And
nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares?
The facilities at Syracuse are fine. You have to play football.
But the facilities at the University of Colorado are second to none. Second to none. Just completed.
Who gets to recruit better?
It depends. It depends on
who. You know, you're at Syracuse, you get the highest quality football athlete in the Northeast.
No, you don't, because those guys are probably going to go to Penn State. They're probably going to go to Michigan. They're probably going to go to Ohio State.
I consider Pennsylvania and Ohio the Midwest. I'm talking about the Northeast. New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey.
We're not talking about a hotbed of football in New York, DMAC.
I gotcha. But, I mean, tell me why that area of New York, New Jersey, a lot of people in there, Connecticut, why is that any lesser than Colorado? I mean, where exactly do you think we're recruiting from around here?
I think we are recruiting from California. I think we're recruiting from Texas. And, of course,
you think we're going to get better recruits in California than UCLA and USC, Texas, more than A&M or Texas?
We don't have to get the best from UCLA. We just have to get our fair share of California recruits.
So you think there's better athletes to be recruited from in this area? You have a better chance to win out here than in the ACC, where Clemson competes. Where Florida State competes.
Yeah, but, I mean, once again, I think you're tapped out there at Syracuse.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
And they just they have a chance to have Montez and LaVisca Chenault come back here as your stars on the offensive side. I mean, the team is not, you know, the cupboards are not
there. Do you know anything about Syracuse football now?
Yeah, man.
I mean, anything?
Unbelievable year. I mean, a top 10 scoring offense, except what they got done to them by Notre Dame was dirty.
Didn't go great to Notre Dame.
They got dead dirty.
But they've dominated this year, aside from the game against Notre Dame. They've had a great year.
I mean, what they've done at that program, I think the coach Babers has been there for 3 years now. It's just been a total turnaround.
Well, I could see why CU would want Babers, but I guess I'm asking you, because he is an offensive-minded guy.
You ask me who.
I think money is going to be the bottom line. So how much money are you going to shell there at CU?
I don't know.
That's the only reason he's going to leave.
I think the money is going to be whatever big-time money is for big-time coaches.
Do you have anybody else aside from my guy at Syracuse?
No.
That's it?
I think that he's the best candidate.
When did you come to this conclusion? How did you come to this?
I saw an article that was written in the Boulder Daily Camera that talked about some candidates. So I started doing some digging, and Babers was the clear candidate because of his unbelievable explosive offense. Remember I told you, in college football, if you want to win consistently in college football, you got to be able to score 38 points a game.
I just got to laugh that people think, and I've heard this from other people too, by the way.
But what?
That leaving the ACC for the Pac-12 is some sort of just like, I think this is part of the problem with CU, by the way, just to keep it real.
Go ahead.
Is that they think they're a little bit more than they really are.
Who?
CU. There's
this is a top 25 program all time, D-Mac. What are you talking about?
What do you think Syracuse was back in the day?
I'm talking about now as far as wins go.
Do you want to look at Syracuse's record now compared to CU?
You mean today?
Today?
You want to take a peek at it from this year? You're talking about this year.
How about the past 6 years?
You're talking about the last three being upgraded by Babers. So I'm telling you that the guy seems to be.
I think he's great. I hope he stays at Syracuse. I think you know.
But you said you don't care, but now you care.
You know, I'm just getting personally insulted that people think the CU job is better than the Syracuse job. That's all. Listen, if they got more money.
Listen, there was a reason I chose the University of Colorado over Syracuse.
Well, it's too bad. You won a national championship, but Syracuse was also a top 10 team at that time.
Yeah, but I think one is better than five. One is better than 10.
One is definitely better than 5 and 10. But there's nothing to say if you didn't go to Syracuse, they couldn't have won a national championship.
Maybe.
You might have made the difference.
Maybe. But I'll tell you this. There have been so many beautiful days like today that you can't claim they're in Syracuse, New York.
Well, I'll give you that. You don't have to twist my arm on that one. Spending, you know, 11 years on the New York State Thruway in Buffalo and Syracuse, I'll agree with you there. But just don't give me that, you know, it's such a better job.
I think the job can be a great job.
It'll come down to money.
Well, I don't think the money is going to be an issue, but what I really believe.
How much are you going to pay out a year for a coach at CU?
Whatever the market is.
What is the market?
I don't know.
They still owe Mike McIntyre $10.3 million.
So Mike McIntyre be paid.
So he was getting like $3 million a year, right?
Whatever it is, Mike McIntyre will be paid. And then, but here's the problem, okay, and I'll be quick with this, okay? If you continue to have teams that underperform and you have a half-filled stadium, there is no way in the world you can afford to have any more future upgrades or pay for the ones that you have already invested in.
In all honesty, Dino, and I'm sorry I screwed up his name, he's done wonders for the program. And it would be very, very exciting to get him at CU. So if you guys can figure it out, I think he'd be an excellent choice. Football at 4 is next.